Right, before we get started this week, I've got a little confession to make. I managed to forget the patrons in the middle of the episode. You know what Paul Payne's like. He gets me all excited talking about companies and I'll lose it. So I'm going to throw you all in at the beginning. So this is a couple of days after recording. Thank you so much to Candy, Stig, Biggie, Gadget, and Oodles, A Modern Escapism, lovely Rob Jones, Records and Bands. Dan and Gavin, Be There with Belson podcast. Hallmark of Greatness is Joe. Paul at SP Film Viewers. Aaron from Z1 podcast. Josh Wilson, super familiar with the Wilsons. Punk from What the Fuck Do You Want pod. Ian from Cut Connections. And Mono and Kira on Mono Rants. Nigel from the Wonder Emporium. And of course, all the kindly losers with nothing to promote. Kieran, Jen and Adam, Megan, Dale, Ali, Maria, Ian, Emily, my lovely wife Rachel, Jake, and Phil. Thanks for the money. Keep it coming. Now, on with the show.
Hi guys, on this show we're looking at Eaton, Jury, Postlethwaite, Armstrong, Pollard, Duncan, Cottrell, and Hower. We're looking at 1992's Split Second.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of 100 Things We Learned From Film. I'm one of your hosts, my name's Planty, and we need to get bigger guns. Big fucking guns!
Yeah, yeah, and I'm the other guy, and I'm the rat chaser, because there was lots of rats in what we're going to be watching, which is weird. Landon.
Rat.
Rat.
There's a rat in my kitchen, what am I going to do? There is a rat in the kitchen at some point
there is.
In this film, John. But it's not just us, because we keep promising and we keep delivering. We got him back. If it's a cult film, we've got a cult human being. I said cult.
Yes.
It's Paul Payne. Hey up, mate.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sadly.
We're here.
We can hear you from the distant future of 2008. how are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Good to be back on with you guys and talking about an absolute banger.
Yeah, banger. I mean, at least one of us thinks that, sure. Paul, I think I might have mentioned this. I can't remember if I mentioned it when we were talking The Warriors or if I mentioned it in passing at some point, and you said it was an absolute fucking beast of a film. What's your relationship with 1992's Split Second?
Well, it was one of my actual video store rentals from that time when we used to have a local corner shop. And they had a little video selection, and I went through them, and that was my big treat as a kid, was being able to, even on my birthday, I got offered a party with my friends, which I didn't have many of, or a video shop rental, and I'd always pick a video shop rental.
Quite interested to know how you didn't have many friends, if that was your attitude. So 92, roughly around this era, so not necessarily 92, but around the years of this, what were the other big video store rentals for you?
92.
I mean, it doesn't have to be 92, could be anywhere in that
but
time.
I suppose it's around the time, I suppose I've gone through all the Predators, the Aliens and all of that stuff, and this was like a very low budget mashup of all of that, and with Rutger Hauer in it. Which
can't go wrong about
her. Wrong with.
It's so weird, isn't it? My relationship with this, I don't talk very often about my stepbrother. My stepdad's got two kids, and David is my elder stepbrother by a couple of years, David Hartley, who I'm pretty certain doesn't listen to this. But I think he bought it up one holiday because he used to live with his mam in Sleaford, not a million miles from you, actually. He bought it up on a video, I assume, taped off something, probably about 93, 94. And we watched it, and I was mesmerized. I'd never seen anything quite like it. And then I never saw it again until about, God, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot how absolute batshit mental it is.
Yeah, it's no right.
John, any relationship with this film?
No, so I'd watched it a couple of years later because I'm going to go through the 1992 films, but there was a lot out there, and I remember I done. I was into other things. Let's just say that. And I was late to the party, but the only reason I watched it is because of Rutger Hauer and Kim Cattrall. I didn't realise the amount of talent in this film until I actually watched it. I realised, man,
it's shocking, actually.
Yeah, talent and not talent.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that and that.
Same time.
There's that and that.
Yeah, 92 then, John, what else could we have been talking about?
Right, so we could have been doing Death Becomes Her.
Oh, that looks great today. I think Rachel was watching that a few years ago.
Is it still right?
It looks amazing, yeah, because I think a lot of it's stop motion, isn't it?
Is it Goldie?
Yeah, Goldie Hawn. Meryl Streep.
I've seen that in the video store.
Meryl
well.
Streep. And again, it's another one of those that I think I saw and didn't realise until I saw it again 10 years later, that the dweeby little nerdy guy is Bruce Willis.
Yeah, yeah. So it
like doesn't look like him, doesn't sound like him. God,
it's not funny either.
You know, he had comedy chops.
Yeah, yeah. Or we could have Sing a White Female. She's disappeared.
Oh, future fucking episode, by the way.
Yeah, banger.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Absolute future episode. I love films about white women getting murdered.
Yeah, it's always the best, isn't it?
Which makes me sound awful, but there was a lot of this in The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, The River Wild, loads of stuff like this. Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember Pacific Heights? Pacific Heights.
Rachel is obsessed. Yeah. My wife is obsessed with Pacific Heights, by the way.
That was another video, like I reckon around that time, Pacific Heights, Michael Keaton.
Funnily enough, thrillers were big,
weren't they?
This particular genre of film were my Sky Movies films. On a Saturday night, my stepdad and mum would go out and I'd be left to watch whatever the premiere was. And I remember The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Single White Female, Dracula, funnily enough,
Bad Lieutenant,
The River Wild, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, all of that.
And my last one, I'm going to end on this one and I'm going to tell you how I got my copy, right? So, Romper Stomper, right?
Ooh, nasty.
So, bear in mind it got banned and reason I got it is, do you remember the Sunday papers used to come with like a Sunday magazine? It was a wee supplement and on the back of it you could either buy shurikens or... shurikens or ninja swords. Remember, it used to have all the lovely things, but sometimes it would have videos. And I remember seeing three videos that I liked. One of them was one of these, and I sent away the wee slip. They sent it in the post.
Britannia Music Club.
And something like that. And they would send you the videos, but you had to pay for them once you got them. I never paid for those videos. I got my copies for free, baby.
Mate, they're still after you out there. You're going to get a phone call one day and it's going to go, hello?
They're still trying to get ahead of me for my 60 pence coin and I never paid for either.
You what?
No, I used to sell stupid shit like fucking crazy coins with somebody's head on it.
They did sell really strange stuff on the back of the thing. Yeah, I got some X-ray specs from the Beano once. Didn't work. good band.
Right, so that was 1992. I forgot Bad Lieutenant, but we've already talked about that to death.
Oh!
You've got to do that one as well.
Yeah, me and John have a particular relationship with that film. That means we will not be doing that one. we, of course, are the podcast that tries to learn 100 things from every film that we talk about. If you like what we do, go to all of our links at 100thingswelearnfromfilm.co.uk. Or if you really like what we do, then it will cost you £1 a month and you will get a shout out on every episode. You'll also get to pick, help us pick an episode. We don't know what the theme's going to be for April yet. This, of course, is the final episode of Monster March, which is dropping on the 1st of April, so fuck you. I very nearly started I've got you to start with the list of people that are in Schindler's List, but I thought, I know it's April Fool's Day, but that's just not funny.
No.
We said we'd never do Schindler's List, and we will not. We might do Schindler's Fist, if I can find a copy. I think, John, you got a copy out the back of the magazine.
Oh, God, that was my third choice.
Bizarre Magazine, was it? Christ, do you remember Bizarre Magazine?
Oh, God, aye. Yeah.
It had that bit in the middle that was perforated. And I think you had to buy it before you could open the perforated... Because it had tits in it. So, anyway, I can't quite remember. I'm imagining stuff here that... Shit. Anyway, let's get started talking about Split Second. Right. So we open with loads of bits and pieces. Loads of really, and that's what I love about British films and felt like independent films of a certain time, because the people that make them mostly, they no longer exist. Do they? That. Including Interstar.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, yep.
I couldn't find a thing about Interstar's setup.
Yep.
But I found four films on Wiki that they did releasing of. Right. A Midnight Clear, which is a war film with Gary Sinise in.
Right.
Highlander 2, The Quickening,
oh,
John.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck that.
It's not a future episode.
That's how Sean Connery quit acting, wasn't it?
Again, one of the many ways that he, how many times have we had him quit acting? Oh, never say never again. I quit.
I'll do it again.
They were owned by Westinghouse Broadcasting until that particular company was merged into CBS in the year 2000.
Right.
The distant year 2000. I really wish, it was at this point I made a note, John, I really wish what I'd done was made a list of the production companies and distributors that we've covered that no longer
exist.
We've done a lot. Yeah, or have been firebombed by greedy executives. Yep. I'm not entirely sure. Really randomly, I can't remember the name of her now, but I was watching a thing about a filmmaker in the 70s and 80s. And the woman, you know the woman that I accused of firebombing all her studios the other week? I can't remember what she was called. She was on it. Did I send you the link? I tagged you in something on Facebook that this woman was in? Ralph. Anyway, she was in it. She actually exists. And I could smell through the screen petrol. I really could. Rags and petrol. She was a monster. Anyway, the fact that I haven't mentioned her name means we're in the clear, yes. Unless she goes back and listens to the episodes. Chris Hanley. It's a Chris Hanley production. Did either of you get anything on this absolute fucking legend? By
no.
Right.
No, I did on the director and everyone else, but not the producer.
So, Chris Hanley, the producer, he really has made history. He created intergalactic music, supplying vintage guitars to wealthy musicians in the 70s. And then in the 80s, he started Intergalactic Studios, where the likes of the Ramones, Afrika Bambaataa and Blondie recorded.
Hello.
In 1984, he started Rock Video International, catchy name, as the first distributor of music videos to the USSR, East Germany and Japan. And he was the first person to bring karaoke to the US from Japan.
Nice. He's to blame.
Indeed he is, yeah. Other films he's produced, Virgin Suicides, American Psycho, and Buffalo 66.
American Psycho? Oh. Have you ever... Buffalo 66? Have you ever...
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Buffalo, of course we haven't done Buffalo 66. Christ, can you imagine an episode of that, listeners? What a really dull episode that would be.
I fucking love Buffalo 66.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course you do. It's a great film. All much better films than this one. Okay. We see a title, it's London 2008,
yep.
Distant future. Yep. And we get the opening crawl. After 40 days and nights of torrential rain, the city is largely submerged below water, a result of the devastating effects of the continued global warming, which isn't actually a thing, listeners.
Yeah.
We thought it was then.
Oh, God,
they proper did.
Yep.
The warnings ignored for decades have now resulted in undreamt of levels of pollution, where day has become an almost endless night. Right, okay.
I'm surprised films didn't get made around that time, like horrors about mad cow disease and shit, because that was... Was that a similar time?
Mad cow disease was the early 90s, yeah. But then something like Black Sheep, as an example, wasn't until kind of the early 2000s. You know, the Kiwi film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the Farley and Spade film. Yeah, so a few things from that. First of all, yes, absolutely. London would be fucked. The Broads would be done. Carlisle would be underwater. You'd be all right in Northampton, wouldn't you? Oh, you're in Milton Keynes now. You'd be all right in MK.
They've got that lovely Thames barrier. That was going to protect everybody.
More on that later.
I've got a few.
It openly shows it.
It's in the credits
and it's open.
It looks lush, by the way. It's a fantastic bit of architecture.
Yeah, but it's only been used 215 times since it was opened in 1982.
Oh, has it really? All right.
Okay. They should have used that. That opening scene is ridiculous because it is just showing London on a normal day in the early 90s.
Yeah, at no point is the river above the water table anyway, is it? It's exactly where it should be. Yeah. I hope somebody got fired off for that blunder.
Yeah.
Just showing a bit of artwork or something with some apocalyptic, like...
Oh, mate, yeah. You know, like a matte painting in the background,
yeah,
possibly with some explosions going off, and like a giant rat Godzilla or something. That would have been amazing. Yes, please. That would have been better film, boys. Better film. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I was talking about. This police hovercraft you've mentioned goes through the Thames Barrier. We get a shot of London, Greenwich. Now, I don't know how it can be 2008 with no Millennium Dome.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I got big vibes of no Millennium Dome here. And you know, what's the John Sim film that's set in Cardiff? The clubbing film.
Oh, Human Traffic.
Human Traffic.
Human Traffic. You know the bit in Human Traffic where it zooms out at the end and they're building the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff? Having been at the Millennium Stadium quite a few times, it's really fucking jarring to see something that doesn't exist at the time when it's supposed to exist. Yeah, so good though. We see Rutger Hauer's character, Stone, not Steve, getting set with guns and these John Lennon glasses, by the way.
Awesome. I love that choice.
Imagine there's no dry land. It's easy if you try. this is obviously London 2008. What happened in 2008 in London? 30th of January, a very, very sad day for anybody that likes this podcast because Jeremy Beadle died.
Oh.
Very sad. But on the other hand, 28th of March, Heathrow Terminal 5 opens.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this version of London is a hellscape... Boris Johnson won the mayoral election 1st of May 2008.
Fucking hell. Started at the beginning of the end.
Wasn't there a massive stock market crash? I saw in my...
So that would
explain... one of the biggest stock...
The banking crisis.
In real life, there was.
Yeah, there was. And then, bear in mind, we're still getting told that Labour did a bad thing bailing out the banks. at no point is anyone going, oh yeah, but the Tories did a really bad thing of being
fucking
Tories.
Being Tories,
starving fucking poor people.
In fact, when this was getting made, there was a depression. Apparently, this was the only film in production for at least 2 weeks.
All right, wow. I mean, that's pretty fucking depressing.
It's pretty depressing,
One of the best things I read about this is, when I was doing my research, was it looks like Blade Runner made on a budget of 50
million. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that does kind of sum it up.
That's a vibe you get, though, isn't it? It really is a vibe you get.
Fantastic. South Bank Runner. It's very much what it is, isn't it?
Right.
Hovercrafts. How do hovercrafts work? They use blowers to produce a large volume of air below the hull or an air cushion that is slightly above atmospheric pressure. The pressure difference between the higher pressure air below the hull rod and lower pressure ambient air above it produce lift, which causes the hull to float above the running surface. There you go. Although I did spot, as the hovercraft comes into the set,
yes,
or the hovercraft's leaving the set, the fan on the back isn't even going.
Hasn't even gone yet. I know.
I mean, so that's, I assume somewhere under the water, someone's got a rope pulling it.
That's on the...
It would have fucked with the sound, wouldn't it? That would have picked up on the mic.
That's on the IMDb as one of the biggest goofs in the film.
Is it really? Oh, yeah. Fucking hell. I've become an IMDb goof wanker without realising. I love it when people come and bring the IMDb goofs thing, because I don't, right? And it makes me feel like it's an easy win for a guest or John.
Yeah.
Because we do always want to get to 100. We don't. And, you know, it doesn't really matter if we don't. But we do always want to get to 100. Before we go any further, you mentioned potentially that you had some stuff on the director, Paul. Was that right?
Well, there was two, wasn't there? Tony Malam started it off.
Yep.
And apparently it was a really... Didn't get on with Rutger Hauer and stuff like that. Tony Malam directed The Burning, which is an amazing slasher with a crop. Have you seen
it? I spotted that, but I've never seen it. Is it? It's worth a watch, no. then.
It's like Tom Savini does all the
get out
special effects.
Really? And,
yeah, about a killer called Cropsey with who kills people with a big whatever those big hedge trimmer things are called.
Shears.
Shears. Yeah.
Dropsy. Is that not what babies?
Cropsey. Cropsey.
Oh, Cropsey. Right. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's meant to be. It's always in the top 10 slashers of all time.
All right. Okay.
So yeah,
well,
he made that.
Yeah, that's right. Mine,
but then
Street.
Another guy called Ian Sharp finished it, an English director who, and through my research, it's on my list of things I want to watch now. He's meant to have made one of the best British action films ever made called Who Dares Wins.
Oh, yeah, the SAS really film about the storming of the... oh, mate, it's fucking brilliant. You must have seen that, John.
Is that the one we...
I've not seen it.
What's his name in it? That ballet guy?
In with the hair, yeah. It is, though. I know exactly what you mean.
Jimmy Bill.
But Ian Sharp apparently only came on for their last scene, which is probably my favourite scene, which is the actual fight.
Oh, yeah, a real action. Yeah, it is a real action scene. Okay, oh, well, nice to know. Tony Malam, I've got some stuff here somewhere, directed and produced Genesis in Concert in 1977.
Yeah, he did a lot of documentaries.
Yeah, Hero, the official film of the 1986 World Cup. I assumed it's not named after that cheating bastard Diego Maradona. nominated for a BAFTA for his documentary film White Rock, which is not only really racist, but it's a film about the 1976 Winter Olympics. Soundtracked by, reads notes, Rick Wakeman.
Oh, what that one was?
Yeah. White Rock. Right. No, not this. I mean, the soundtrack on this is pretty fucking mental. But it's certainly not Rick Wakeman. Anyway, there's a film here somewhere. Dirkerstan. He's the boy out of Taggart, isn't he?
Aye, so he is.
And he's in his
and
Jeep.
Also
try to find Stone.
Went on to be the voice of Alfred the Butler. In
he's Alfred Pennyworth in fucking acres of those cartoon things.
Yeah,
I've not
and
seen
games.
A single one of them. Have you watched these? You quite like an animated show, don't you?
Yeah, the Batman is obviously Batman Adventures is the benchmark, but the Batman is a really good one.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Batman
recommended.
Batman the animated series. That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah, but this was came a few years later, and people really rate it, and some people like it more.
Right.
But
is it still Conroy?
Conroy.
Is it still Kevin Conroy as Batman in these?
No.
No. Right. Okay. That's a shame.
No.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, I will give it. I will give it a listen and see what his English accent's like, because he's about as English as John.
Bye, Farquhar.
I do love him though. I love his performance.
He's really good in this, and he takes this. Boy, does he take this fucking turn.
Aye, yeah.
Anyway, we'll come to what I put it down to, because you know, you should put it down to one thing, but I put it down to another thing. We pass through. By the way, and you mentioned it at the start, Paul. Some fantastic filming in London, which, you know, past St. Paul's, over Tower Bridge.
Yep.
Imagine the cost in 2024 to get all that shut down. So much so that they would just do it in Glasgow.
Pretty much, right?
Like Fast and Furious.
Right, fuck them. Get them out of the tin.
I think that's hilarious, though, that first sort of 10 minutes, because it's like it starts in a post-apocalyptic looking Blade Runner place, and then it's all flooded, and he drives out of it. And it just looks like normal London.
Yeah, of course it does. Because it is. And then we get to this bar, and you see four blokes from the Amiga game Syndicate walking past.
But it's just like almost Rutger Hauer is driving to the next set. It's just really bizarre.
Yeah, they just followed him with his stogie on. That's a good point.
But apparently that was filmed. I saw that was in the London Business District. That those driving scenes were filmed, because apparently it was dead back in the days.
With the depression.
And at night. Yeah, because I don't know if you've ever been into what they called the City of London on a weekend. But me and regular listener Ian McComish went. Oh God, I want to say probably about. In fact, 2012 Olympics. So like 12 years ago now, we went. And on a Sunday, we went to find this beer hall that was fucking shut, and ended up walking to one in the city. And it was just us and three German blokes, and the whole of the City of London was just shut because it's open 5.5 days a week, and the rest of the time, why the fuck would anyone go there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like Stirling. It's shut.
It's overrated.
Sterling's not overrated. It's better, not even rated. He pulls out at a club and lights his stogie with this mini blowtorch, by the way, which I fucking loved. But it did raise one big question for me. If he's lighting his cigars with that, what's he finishing off his creme brulees with at home?
Exactly. I know.
Is he just lighting a Caligas bottle and hoying it across the kitchen at his custard? The club he goes to is called JJ's, possibly owned by JJ Okocha. I don't know. Football reference for John there.
What was he doing in 2008?
Probably at Bolton. I assume he was at Bolton, wasn't he? And obviously he had a club in flooded London.
Investment.
It's some sort of futuristic fetish bar, I've written. This Rottweiler runs at him and barks. Stone shows him his ID and calls him what?
Is it dickhead?
Dickhead. Police dickhead. he gets let into the club by who, Paul?
Ian Jury?
Yeah. Yeah. Previous episode, John, Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't expect us to get to 150 episodes almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And having done two films starring Ian Dury.
Yeah, who knew?
And when I've looked him up, who knew indeed?
He's done loads, hasn't he?
I've found he's in that second The Crow film that we will have to do.
Oh, we're going to do it.
City of Arseholes or whatever it's called.
I didn't mind it.
By the way, listeners, let us know. Fuck, I'm going to regret this because this is going to cost us real money and probably get me kicked out of the cinema. Let us know if you want to do that. You want us to do that new The Crow film with Bill Skarsgård. And bearing in mind, I watch every film twice, so I'm going to have to go to the film, make notes on what I want to look up, and then go back to the cinema again and write up my notes.
Yeah.
Every now and again, shout into the bloke in the projection booth, do us a favour, mate, pause it, because I'm about three scenes behind.
Aye. Oh God!
But yeah, listeners, let us know if you want us to do that new Crow film. I haven't even watched the trailer because I really think I want to do it.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen pictures. John, you look furious.
I just feel as if I don't know. It's his legacy, really, isn't it? They fucking finished the film just so it could, just for him. So the idea that we've got this fucking arsehole doing it, it just looks shit.
But mate, they did three other The Crow films.
Aye, but they're different.
It's a bit late to get upset now.
Aye, but they're different characters. This is meant to be where it is.
There was a TV series, wasn't there?
There was a TV series. Come on, John. Your actors can't stay alive all the time.
Wait, Edward Furlong?
Is Eddie Furlong in it?
Aye.
Is he the titular The Crow?
I think he is, actually. Well, he's definitely got the makeup on at one point.
Is it because they buried him at Pet Sematary too?
Aye. You never...
Not the first one. Don't mistake it for the first one.
Clancy Brown is fucking raging.
Clancy Brown in Pet Sematary. Pet Sematary? Is he? No, in the first one it's Herman Munster, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And then the second one, I'm sure.
And
in the remake,
have you seen the remake? The one that came out recently?
Oh,
I want to say it's Thomas Jane, but it's not Thomas Jane in it.
No,
And that's Lithgow.
Oh, I playing.
Lithgow's the sometime dead is better, just without the... Anyway, fucking not this film.
Oh, is that Jason Clarke guy?
Yeah, it looks a bit like The Punisher, doesn't he?
By the way, it's Clancy Brown. Bloody Anthony Edwards is in it as well, the second one.
Is he?
Aye.
Anthony Edwards? Fucking... Anyway, Jesus. Where's he now? I assume he's on residuals money for ER, isn't he?
Nah, he's been getting royalties for... Remember, his goose has been cooked, so he can't be it.
His goose.
Talking about residuals money, did either of you pick up that the writer was... What's his name? I've got his name written down. But he wrote Fast and Furious, the guy who wrote this.
What?
And he created all the characters, and they reckon his residuals are just crazy, obviously.
What's his name?
The writer.
Well,
I love the fact that Paul's the one dragging us back on the...
I know, sorry mate.
Subject. No, this is great. This is great. Gary also, Scott I've Thompson. Noticed he's the only one not drinking. Unless that's gin in water bottle, you cheeky boy.
I've got a whiskey here. But Gary Scott Thompson. He wrote Fast and Furious.
Yeah, two first names, prick.
Created all the characters. So you think of what that even that's worth to him.
Fucking hell.
No.
I created the character of John, yet when people listen to this podcast...
No, I know they don't believe it. Is he
an AI creation?
No, he's like the lassie that's created in that Nightmare Before Christmas.
No.
I'm the evil doctor in the wheelchair.
I thought he was like one of the jelly aliens you used to keep in the egg to see it grows. It never fucking grew. Lying bastards. That alien never grew.
He also wrote Hollow Man, which I think is a banger.
It's okay to be wrong, both of you. Hollow Man. Hollow Man is the... Hollow Man was the most rapey Invisible Man film until that most recent Invisible Man film came out. And then that's the most... What is it about invisible men sexually abusing women? I'm not cool with that, by the way. Trigger warning for like 30 seconds ago. Ian Dury has been dead, by the way, lads. 24 years this week.
Fucking hell.
24 years yesterday as of recording. There you go. 24 years.
Seems like
he
yesterday.
Has been dead, which is astonishing. He caught polio, Marco, from Southend swimming baths at the age of 7.
Wow.
Which is the least offensive thing someone's caught at Southend swimming baths. We learn Stone only drinks coffee. When they go in, it's a 2-drink minimum. And this lassie comes up to him and says, "Can I get you a drink?" He says, "Coffee.
Coffee.
2-drink minimum. 2 coffees. Lots of sugar." It's great. He's not a character. None of them are fucking characters.
Not one of them.
In fact, if anybody's a character, it's old. It's old Dick. Stone is on the phone to the gaffer. We learn that he's been suspended, but he's still fucking nabbing vehicles. He wanders around the club looking for his coffees. Oh, this woman. By the way, this woman, so I've half written this. This blonde woman asked him to watch the door at the toilet for him. I was certain this blonde woman, by the way, was the blonde one out of the Philadelphia adverts in the 90s. Lovely!
Did you check it out?
It's not her. But I honestly spent far too long watching those Philadelphia adverts from the 90s.
I thought it was one of the lassies if he smacked the pony, but it wasn't he. Remember the...
Was it anyone? Was she anyone?
No,
she's
an actor/model. Actor/model.
Oh.
He wanders off round looking for his coffees. We hear a scream from the back of the place. It's the toilets, and it's Philadelphia woman dead with her chest ripped out, and on the mirror painted in blood, "I'm back." He questions a few patrons, and even the dog. "What about you, dickhead? I know you saw him." that dog, by the way, lads, is dead.
Yeah.
And then so's Ian Dury, so what the fuck do we know? Stone follows a trail of blood out the club. We hear a heartbeat. "I can hear your heartbeat. I'll find you, you fuck." Dick's on a boat with Alan Armstrong, by the way. Alan Armstrong. Alan Armstrong hates you, Paul.
Me?
So you know, yeah, because you live in Milton Keynes. Alan Armstrong, in spite of the fact that he's from Anfield Plain in County Durham, he is possibly the most famous Wimbledon supporter. He's now seen.
I hate Dons as much
as you should,
anyone.
Mate. As you fucking should. What a bunch of franchise.
Yeah, I'm with him.
Did you? I don't know.
It was great to see AFC beat them 1-0 in the last minute a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I actually have AFC as my second team.
Again, talking about Ian, who regular listener Ian. He's from Stirling. He's originally from what's it called, John?
Commonwealth.
That's the one. He's originally from Commonwealth. He's a Clyde fan, but his English team are AFC. I absolutely loved that bloke got a fine and a ban for kicking free kicks into the crowd before the game at the Milton Keynes Dons fans. That was fucking brilliant the other day. It's no less than they deserve, let's be fair.
No. Mm. See, I'm not into like hooliganism on it, but when AFC fans come and smash up the toilets, I'm just like, it's what you deserve, I'm afraid. I'm not justifying any of it.
I'm not into hooliganism, he says, but my old man is. once your old man's had his butties at half time, he goes fucking tonto, doesn't he? We're talking about Stone. He says, he lives on coffee, chocolate and anxiety. He's worked in every hellhole on earth and been fired from them all, which is really good. Lives on coffee, chocolate and anxiety. That sounds very fucking familiar. If you replace coffee with cup of soups and anxiety for pies, it's me. Stone has been locked up. It's really weird because he keeps getting locked away. And we don't you don't really see it. And I can't help thinking that perhaps the new director threw these bits in
just to the movie, possibly.
Yeah, because they're very.
Was he just did the very last?
Right,
bit.
Okay.
Because I don't know. Maybe he did.
It feels very much like that. When he's released, the check-in sergeant. Did you spot this actor, lads? By the way, with the moustache.
Is that the Scottish guy that's in loads of shit?
It's Socrates from Bill and Ted. He's also the maitre d' in previous episode Scrooged. You know when he gets served with the eyeball in his drink?
So he is. So
and
he is.
He's the maitre d'. Is everything okay with your drink, sir?
Yeah. I'm
another reference to Scrooge coming up, boys, by the way. And I'm pretty sure you spotted that one. Stone heads back into the office, grabs a coffee, and uses Pete Postlethwaite's pen to stir it with. R.I.P. that guy, What a fucking great actor he was. Far too young.
I really think, I'm sorry to ruin the party, but I really think Pete Postlethwaite is one of the most overrated. I'm sorry.
Well, he just came in too late.
You've got to... I mean, you've got to love him in...
British character actor, like Brian Bosworth? Brian Bosworth, you always see him always used, and I don't get it myself, but...
I don't know, I think where he plays the florist in... not Infernal Affairs, what's the American version of Infernal Affairs? Scorsese one.
Oh, Departed?
Departed. He's pretty good in that. His Irish accent's shocking. But that was really close to the end of his life. It was like a year away from dying. He looks...
But so's Ray Winston's fucking American accent.
Oh, by the way, lads, I don't know if you've got on it, but we have not been able to stop watching. We watched an episode every night this week. We're six episodes into The Gentleman on Netflix.
I've been hearing good things about it.
Right? Yeah, it is quite blatantly... It's got his footprints all over it. Like the way it's written and the way the characters exist is brilliant. But the point I made the other day was it's not, you know, like Buffy was Monster of the Week and X-Files was Monster of the Week. I've called this Cunt of the Week. There's always some cunt for them to take on, a different cunt every week. It's great. It's good. Really, really good.
Get on it.
Yeah,
that's funny because do you remember the Lockstock TV series? I recently bought.
Yeah,
TV
I think I watched the first episode. They moved it around on Channel 4. They never gave it a really good place to sit.
But that was a similar theme, and that's a Guy Ritchie. But yeah, it was a cunt of the week, and that was every episode.
Yeah, there was only like two returning for that, wasn't there? There was Nick, what's his name, the main guy.
Oh,
Jason Fleming, maybe.
Yeah, none of the main dudes.
Yeah.
A lot of EastEnders actors.
Dexter Fletcher was too busy directing stuff, wasn't he?
Dexter Fletcher was too busy doing McDonald's voiceovers.
Without going off too much on a tangent, have you guys seen the Sexy Beast series?
No, is it any good?
The only thing about it is you know what happens because it is a prelude.
Oh, right, okay.
They've got the casting spot on for like...
So is it the same characters?
Yeah,
so it's got characters. H in it and...
Yeah.
Oh, man, we loved that guy, didn't we? The guy that played H, the Scottish actor. He's a real, you know, John. No, you know,
really
he's
awesome.
His mate. Right. He's a real, like, fucking cock.
The one at the end that thought was, wasn't going to stick up for his missus, but
eventually
did.
And then obviously...
Smashed him in the telly.
Fucking hell, yeah. Right, okay, yeah, well, we'll get on that once we finish the Gentleman. Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway. Fucking hell. What is this? Anyway. The chief pulls him in and he's got his hand cannon. Stone tells him it's the serial killer that's back. He ripped her heart out. With a spoon, dear cousin. Stone says he thinks he eats them. Dick doesn't trust him, and we learn that he has anxiety neuroses. Which we all know.
Apparently that gun's a paintball gun.
Oh, right. Okay.
The guns look fucking awful. They look like they're toilet roll tubes painted black, some of them.
Simon Grooms made them. Yeah. Sticky back plastic.
I still love them, but they look shit.
The chief asks what else he's carrying. An MP15 and a Glock 50. I'm surprised you don't have a grenade launcher. I couldn't get a permit.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
I actually thought that was not really that a badass line. But if he was a badass, why does he need a permit?
No, but it's funny.
That's the way I read it.
It doesn't add to that to me. Badass when it can be funny.
Badass.
somewhere here, I've got something on that. Just give us a second, boys.
I suffer with anxiety. I don't have lots of weaponry.
And maybe it's best that you don't.
Coffee and chocolate, by the way. Dadas, or whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah, Dadas he was eating, wasn't he? Nothing.
He puts chocolate on his fridge, doesn't he, at one point?
Disgusting.
I would not have fucking eaten those, by the way, looking at that flat.
His house fucking stinks.
That's tea cakes, wasn't it? Wee tiny tea cakes.
Yeah.
It's like when Kim Cattrall first comes into it and she's like, can we open a window? It just smells of his arse.
His arse and coffee. Imagine what his fucking stools are like.
He says, and don't touch anything, it's a bit greasy in here, which I always say to any ladies who visit my place.
I know. Don't touch anything that's already rigid.
As they're leaving, Postlethwaite finds a case delivered for Stone. It's cold. I mean, it's blatantly a record box, this. They open it, and it's got a human heart with a massive bite out of it.
Yep.
Pete Postlethwaite wanted it to be beers, didn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did.
Get your beers delivered, and like, fucking hell. Deliver who? Back in the day.
Did somebody say, just heart?
Exactly. Hearts can only last 6 hours outside the human, so if they see how they do the transplants. Apparently, the lungs and heart
can only
6 hours.
Yeah. All right.
6 hours.
6 hours, yeah, yeah.
6 hours. Jesus.
Stone and Dirk, Dick, are discussing his career. He says he grew up in Lochgilphead, Argyle, went to Oxford, and in the words of Malcolm Tucker, Oxbridge twat. Lochgilphead, population of around 2,300 people, was a planned settlement. It was created in 1790, shortly after the completion of a road from Inverary to Campbelltown. And the James Bond film From Russia with Love used locations there for shots, and the local cinema was used to watch rushes each day for the cast and crew.
Nice.
There you go.
The most famous person I can see for Lochgilphead is Neil Dwyer, who's a footballer, and you know I don't care about that sort of thing. So.
Well, I also found Xander somebody or other, who is currently a footballer, plays under 21s for Scotland.
Makes even worse.
But we're all due a cap for them, I think. long overdue in Paul's sense. In the club, so they go back to the club, and in the toilet, Stone's lying where the corpse was found. Mm-hmm. When he and Jury arrives with the dog, you saw him, didn't you? He says to the dog, "What the hell are you doing?" Excuse me, I'm talking to your secretary. It's a fucking good line. Out at the Jeep, Dick's cleaning the headlamps. He says 80% of all accidents are caused by poor visibility. Stone, because he takes some chewing gum off of it. And Stone puts some chewing gum back on it.
Yeah, yep.
More than 38,700 traffic accidents occur during foggy conditions on an annual basis in Glasgow alone. No, in Britain. There's more London driving here, and exactly as you say, it's just all filmed in one night, isn't it?
Yep. And his Jeep, CG, CG7?
21 days, it apparently, was filmed in, because it was Rutger Hauer only had that to film it.
All right.
Yeah, it was between some other films, so yeah, he only gave 21 days.
Between much better films. The Hitcher and Blind Fury.
Nah, Hobo with a Shotgun.
I hated Hobo probably... with a Shotgun. It just seemed too... Yeah... It's like we watched Wolf Cop for Hallmark of Greatness.
I didn't like that one, but
it just seemed. I get it. You want to ape what's come before, but I don't know. It just doesn't.
Rutger Hauer, like this. Even though Rutger Hauer didn't really want to do it, he always gives it that 100%.
He knows. Oh, yeah, he knows what he's in. That's the thing. Yeah, he always knows what he's in. So they're in this apartment. The crime scene guy has a corpse with its heart ripped out of his chest. Stone finds his previous partner's gun at the crime scene, and on the ceiling, we spot the astrological symbol for Scorpio.
Yep.
Stone asks Dick about the occult, but he knows nought about it. He does know a little bit about astrology, though. He mentions that Charles Manson was a Scorpio. Charles Manson's actual birthday, lads, November 12th, 1934. Uncle Charlie.
And he was a Scorpio?
Stone's a Scorpio as well, isn't it? That's the link between them.
Stone is a Scorpio, yeah, we learn a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Other famous Scorpios, Katy Perry, Bill Gates, and Owen Wilson.
Wow.
It's the most susceptible sign to evil.
Is it really?
Yeah, that Cancer and Sagittarius. Look this up. So they're looking at serial killers and evil people in general. So they're looking at Pisces, Cancer, Sagittarius, and Scorpio are the main star signs, astrological signs for serial killers.
My mum's a Scorpio and she's evil incarnate. It's fine. good to know. We call her the twins, Basil. Twins. No good comes of twins, as Rachel always says. My mam and my auntie, my evil auntie Lynn. Evil Lynn. Both born on Halloween. There you go. We call my mother the Wicked Witch of West Yorkshire, and my auntie the Wicked Witch of the East Midlands. So it's all funny until they die, and I'm on. Various podcasts calling them pricks.
Yeah,
that's going to be a really good thing to talk to my counsellor about.
This will come back and bite you right in the
ass. This will come back and bite me at the will reading. Anyway, Postlethwaite brings Stone the imprint of the teeth marks, and they have a Barney. Stone grabs him and tells him to take them to the lab before running off with it. Anyway, we see its massive teeth. I mean, I assume it's probably... They belong to Jürgen Klopp, Gary Busey...
Gary Busey was my choice.
No, was it really? Right. Or previous person that we've killed on the podcast who isn't actually dead, Janet Straight Porter.
Oh, God, aye.
Yeah, we killed her a few months ago, didn't we? Not dead. Not actually dead. Stone explains to Dick that not only is he not nuts, but they are not working together. Dick explains Charles Manson was a Scorpio. Seeing the hearts, he thinks he's a psychotic. Stone shows him the teeth and calls the killer a beast. The sunken sets are good. I like them a lot. I think, you know, the little bit of water in the sets is good. I would have liked to have seen some instances of them being in much deeper water.
Yeah.
But I assume
none
there's
of it
a...
ever looks like flooding.
Yeah.
No, at no point does it look like flooding. Those scenes were predominantly filmed at the Hartley Jam Factory in Southwark.
Yeah, I saw that. That was one of mine.
Hartley's Jam was founded in 1871 as a grocer's in Colne, Lancashire. In 1871, a supplier failed to deliver a consignment of jam, so William Hartley made his own and packaged it in his own earthenware pot. The Bermondsey Factory was later converted into luxury apartments in 2003, gutted that they flooded in 2008.
They used it because it was flooded already. Was it flooded? Actually flooded at the time?
I assume they flooded it for the set.
Yeah.
Because you never see them walking through a huge amount. So what I think they probably did was they made certain bits watertight and just pumped gallons upon gallons of water.
Yeah, and done the walking scenes and then the rest just upshots.
Yeah. Yeah. Gary Sinise was furious because his men ended up with trench foot. Poor Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan, you got legs. And your feet are rotten.
What's that, Paul? Oh, is that your notes?
Yeah, just my notes.
I thought he was flashing pictures.
It's a shout for help.
I thought it was,
he's written on it, get me away from these cunts.
What is this? How many? Is this my seventh? Seventh?
Fucking eight? Hell, mate. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are a most...
Yeah.
Prolific arsehole.
Need to get a gold cup.
The clap, more like. Anyway. Give me your keys, he says. Why? Where are we going? You're not going anywhere. And he throws Dick's keys into the water and drives off. He's such a dick, Stone, isn't he? He's an absolute fucking asshole.
He hates him.
He is.
Stone drives to the London Necropolis.
Yep.
And meets Lieutenant Valaris from the USS Enterprise A. Michelle.
With the same haircut.
Fucking that Lieutenant fucking Valaris hair. Jesus Christ. The London Necropolis, I googled thinking it's got to be a thing. No, but the London Necropolis Railway Station was the terminus at Waterloo in London for the London Necropolis Railway. The London Necropolis Railway was opened in 1854 as a reaction to severe overcrowding in London's existing graveyards and cemeteries. It aimed to use the recently developed technology of the railway to move as many burials as possible to the newly built Brookwood Cemetery in Brookwood, Surrey.
Yeah, that's where I got Brookwood Cemetery. It's the largest cemetery in the United Kingdom, but that's known as the London Necropolis.
Nice. I assume Kim Cattrall inspired Uma Thurman's haircut in Pulp Fiction here.
No, that was a hairdo. She was literally just off the back of shooting Star Trek.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying, because only 2 years later, Uma Thurman, Uma Thurman has this haircut in... Yeah.
Fiction.
I said, God damn! It's a great line. They head to Stone's place, and it's grim as fuck, Paul, as you mentioned. Pigeons, rotten food, guns in the fridge, by the way.
Everywhere.
It's like a fucking house out of Fallout 4. You go in the fridge and you find bullets. Right, I couldn't figure this out. Was Michelle Foster's girl?
Yes.
Or was she just somebody?
No.
Right, okay. So she was his ex-partner, Foster's girl.
But I think they had an affair when Foster was alive.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I read.
She moved to Newcastle with Foster's mam?
Yep.
Question mark. Doesn't make any sense.
What's happened
and some
to Newcastle
kids
in this
or something?
Apocalyptic nightmare.
Huh?
What's happened to Newcastle in this post-apocalyptic 2000?
Mate, I've seen it not post-apocalyptic, and that's bad enough. I've got to be honest. Carlisle's fucked. Newcastle and Sunderland are already fucked. Jesus, head for the hills of
Scotland.
Wakefield. Jesus, don't. Stone falls asleep on the sofa in a caffeine sugar crash, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And she covers him with her coat. By the way, he falls asleep with a fag on, with a cigarette on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Cigarettes and other smoking products cause over a third of all accidental fire deaths in the home. So, listeners, remember back, if you've been listening from the start, to when we were a public service podcast. We're getting back there. Denny, smirk your tabs at night. Put your tabs out before you go to sleep. I don't know why I'm Geordie. Arguably, I'm not. She covers him with her coat, and he dreams in sepia. For some reason.
Yep.
Right, like an old Western film. We're just missing some bloke in the background going ding lang ding 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 playing like the piano. They're in a flooded underground station. Fucking TFL, am I right? Downstairs, Dick is asleep in his Jeep and Stone ties his laces together and sets the siren off. Jumping out, he falls into the water. We learn Dickie's not only a good cop, but he runs 5 miles a morning and gets laid every night.
Every night, yep. Yep.
Who could be fucked?
Well, he can.
Okay, I mean, yeah, he's literally. Yeah.
You didn't watch, because I I was saying to you earlier, I managed to find the Japanese cut on my Blu-ray extras. And one of the scenes is between Durkin and his girlfriend, who doesn't appear in the film.
Yeah.
But it is the most rapey, weird scene ever. They basically go to Durkin's flat.
Yeah.
And Durkin's is horny. So because he hasn't seen her for a few days, and he obviously has to do whatever. He puts her over his shoulder to take up to the bedroom, and Stone slaps her ass.
Right.
And says, take your time.
Fucking hell.
Wow. And then some tentacles come out of his back and fucks it with those. I mean, here's the Japanese cut after all. I love the fact, Paul, you and I were talking on chat. Did you not say that the Japanese cut was shorter? There's more scenes in it and it's shorter. How is that possible?
No, that was because I bought a DVD. I think it was German or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Vaughn.
And it claimed to be the uncut one, and it was actually shorter than the original cut.
Right.
But the 96 minute cut was only available as a Japanese VHS, and even on the extras on the Blu-ray, it's taken from a VHS print, and it's got burned in Japanese subtitles.
John and I, listeners and Paul, just for your reference, John and I watched this on free service Plex with adverts. You didn't watch it on Plex, didn't you, John?
Yeah,
I assume you probably got the same adverts I got. But the adverts, the first time I watched it, were different the second time I watched it, which is really weird. But the first time I watched it, I got adverts of this cop, like this British police officer, trying to figure out a case. Did you get this, John? He's trying to figure out the case. And I assume it's because I'm a fat cunt I got this. And it's a blood pressure advert for the NHS.
I never got that either.
Yeah, get your blood pressure checked at your local NHS.
Oh, no, it's right.
Did you get that?
Yeah, you got that one.
So I thought I'd do some facts on that. High blood pressure is called hypertension, which I think might be an 80s song. What will cause it is regularly drinking alcohol above the low risk guidelines. Not me. Not doing enough exercise. I do plenty of exercise. Being overweight, definitely me. A family history of high blood pressure. Don't know, don't talk to the cunts. And consuming too much salt.
What?
We'll do it. Should you want to fix it? Because, John, that's got you written all over
No, I'm a sugar. I'm a sugar guy. I hate fucking salt.
A sugar daddy. A sugar daddy. Oh. ways to fix it, not be Scottish. Eat more vegetables and fruits. Sit less. Sorry, John. Be more physically active, which can include walking, running, swimming, dancing. Get out. Or activities that build strength, like bumming. Weightlifting. Get at least 150 minutes per week, moderate intensity aerobatic activity, or 75 minutes per week vigorous aerobic activity. Kirsty should be so lucky.
Fucking chafe the thing.
Do strength building exercises 2 or more days a week, and lose weight if you're obese. Yeah, all right, Dr. fucking advert, thanks very much. Yeah, anyway, so we got that same advert, and then I got loads of adverts about some fucking charity thing in America, in Guatemala or something.
There's loads.
Sending the fucking Peace Corps or something. Man, anyway. But that meant that watching a 90-minute movie became a two-hour job again.
Yeah, yeah.
In spite of the fact it's a 90-minute
I was the same. As soon as you've seen it, like, 3 minutes again?
Non-skippable 155-second adverts.
What's that service?
Plex.
Plex.
All right.
It's where we get a lot of the stuff that we can't actually get on any streaming service, but then every now and again it throws up something for free, which is good, because I think this was also on Amazon, but fuck those guys and their lack of subtitles. This actually had subtitles as well, which are pretty good subtitles. Anyway, so if you listeners, it's a bit late now, go and watch this on Play. Go and watch it, it's great fun. So at the bar for breakfast, Stone orders coffee and a full English, right? Dick orders a croissant and lapsang souchong.
Yeah.
Have we had some lapsang souchong, boys?
I think we have. I've had it before.
No, I mean, have you actually had lapsang souchong?
No.
No,
I'm not.
Yeah, it's quite... It's a smoky black tea. I've had it a few times. Black tea consisting of Camellia sinensis leaves that may be smoke-dried over a pine wood fire. Not to be confused with a fire that broke out at Pinewood Studios. I'd say we take off and nuke the whole place from Earth. from space. Yes. That was also filmed at Pinewood, by the way. Got that. Originated in the Wiyu Mountains during the Qing Dynasty of 1646. Paul, something a bit more up your street. Song Cha, Lapsang Souchong Tea Liqueur, is $39.95 at the Whiskey Exchange.
Ooh,
yes, please.
That is,
I'll get some of that street in my fucking...
Have they got any in Aldi's?
Do they do an Aldi's version?
What they've got in Aldi is this fantastic Irish single malt, very nice. Which, 17 quid, you can't beat it. Especially considering the amount of fucking single malt I dropped down my neck.
I'm on the Aldi's Samuel Jones.
Yeah, you're an Aldi Jack D.
Yeah, you do like an Aldi Jack D. We'll have to get you on with Oodles, who was on last week talking about Blade. He'll put you in your fucking place about bourbon, by the way.
Oh, God, aye.
His wife's American, and his point was, Jack Daniels is the worst drink available.
What?
He's a maker's mark, man.
Talking about Blade, did you get the Blade connection?
Oh! No, is that not a song from the Muppets?
The guy who did the special effects.
Yeah. Bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo.
What was his name?
Bladey McBladerson.
Crazy. But he went on to direct Blade and League of Gentlemen.
Oh,
League
it's...
Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I was going to say Pennington, but he's not called Pennington.
Cunningham? Is it Cunningham?
I've got my iPad down here.
Let's have a look.
Willie Neal, the gin.
But yeah, he gave up filmmaking after working with Sean Connery on.
Jesus, this keeps coming up. Doesn't this keep coming up?
Oh yeah, it seems familiar.
This comes up in every fucking 10 episodes. But yes, this came up last week when we talked about
Stephen Norrington.
He was
the special effects guy. He worked on Aliens.
Yeah.
And then he directed Death Machine, Blade, which
I'd love to give you all these facts, Paul, but we had them 7 days ago, mate.
Yeah, we've done them.
All right.
I'm really sorry, but you know, if you're not going to fucking listen to the podcast, do you know what I mean? I don't know what to tell you. I love the fact that neither of us could remember his name, even though 7 days ago we recorded a podcast where we mentioned it no end.
Oh, no.
Oodles is sat home going, it's fucking Stephen Norrington. He's fucking Stephen Norrington, you bastards.
No Whitley Neal.
Yes. In the background of this scene, by the way, the song Nights in White Satin.
I know.
Moody Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Used so much because one of the producers had the rights to it, apparently.
Oh, right. Oh, that's super. Good. Yeah, because it's in a few scenes before, isn't it?
It's just slowly playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hey, how about that?
It's like in the pub when he's having his full English, isn't it?
And stuff. Yeah.
That's exactly the scene. Yeah. Released November the 10th, 1967. So the record is also a Scorpio. Number one.
There's a lot of things like that in here because 2000, like sort of mystical stuff, like 2008 is a year of the rat, which...
Mm-hmm. Which comes into it, yeah.
But yeah, sorry.
No, absolutely not. Perfect. It's good. Because it's all connected, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was number one in the Stupid Sexy Flanders and where, John?
Oh, the Netherlands.
The Netherlands. Correct. It's had more releases than fucking Strange Ways Prison, by the way, this song. It was also released in 1972, where it made its number one in Canada, and USA. USA. And then in 1979, it was eighth in Ireland, so it was.
I love the way it was used in Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, which a lot of people hate Rob Zombie Halloweens. But...
Yeah, we started watching, because I'm not a massive, huge fan of the Halloween films anyway. I think they're very good, but I don't know. I think I'd seen better by the time I'd finally got round to seeing them. Halloween 2 is my favourite Halloween film because of the way it continues on and it lasts the entire night.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the way they basically kill a kid. You know, it's got all the things in that I want to see in a horror film that you don't see in horror films like that.
Death of children.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Infanticide is probably my favourite crime, listeners. Yeah, but it's got loads of things I am. But I don't think that... I think the Rob Zombie ones, they just seem really unkind. There's a lot of swearing in them where there isn't in... the original ones.
I just fucking hated that blonde kid, man. Every time I think,
yeah,
of him,
well,
I
that
think,
as well. That such as well. A little dick. Fucking rat. Anyway,
Hancock had was right to fucking punch him up in the fucking ear.
Is that the kid that Hancock punches to fuck?
Aye.
Is it really? Aye. Maybe I need to go back. I've not seen that out at the cinema. I know it's bad. Great premise, that Hancock movie, and we talk about it every few months, don't we, John?
Aye, we do.
Really good premise. Great start to the film, and then
declined. It just.
Yeah, so we learn that Stone's birthday, as Paul's mentioned before, is the 10th of November. He's a Scorpio. Other people born on the 10th of November, Neil Gaiman, National Treasure. Oh. Brittany Murphy, RIP, yeah. By the way. I think about Brittany Murphy a lot. And Richard Burton, around the horn, around the horn. why does the guy kill during a full moon, highest tide? Scorpio is a water sign. We learn that he kills before midnight, but it's a different place every time, so there's no connection there. Back in Stone's apartment, we see this heavy breathing camera heading towards the apartment. Michelle's in the shower. Mm-hmm. The boys get a report of an intruder at 16 Russell Street, which is his apartment. They arrive to screams and they head in up to the apartment. He runs into the shower. And the scream was because the water got colder.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Which, trust me, when we moved into our new house, which we've now been in for 6 months, I wasn't entirely sure why the shower kept getting colder, but it did. Fucking hell, it comes as a shock and a half.
Yeah.
Until we figured it out. Fuck me.
But it was a proper, like, blood-curdling scream.
Oh, it was, yeah. It's not kind of like, oh, my fucking bits, you know. Just then they hear a scream from another apartment.
That was the second most gratuitous sort of like reason just to have some boobs in it.
Of course it is. She was always keen to get a fucking wax.
Always good to see a love of Podlin's tits in it.
That's I forgot to say, the bar scene, like the original bar scene where the stripper is dancing.
Yeah.
And as Stone is getting his psychic, she's dancing and swinging her babs around more and more and more as it builds up. What was that about?
Oh, it's like, yeah,
it's just psychic power through her back.
It's like Mall Rats, where she can only tell the future through massaging her boobs. So they head down. Dick runs in to this other apartment and he gets blown away out the window, doesn't he?
Oh yeah,
properly blammoed.
Yeah, that's a proper blammo. Right at the fucking window as well, man.
Oh mate, he is blammoed indeed. Right, he is dead as fuck in this. Stone dives around the apartment getting shot at and blows a hole in a door, causing this shadowy figure to make a run for it through the smoke. Once it all clears, he sees another blonde corpse in the bath. And then Michelle runs in saying that it bit me! The monster bit me! Okay. Stone has a panic attack and they lump him in this ambulance and they put this air mask on, this oxygen mask, and do a real close-up. John, did you get any particular
Daddy want to fuck?
I got massive hopper in blue velvet. The way, they've got a very similar face.
Oh, yeah. And as soon as you've done it, I was like, Daddy want to fuck?
Pabst Blue Ribbon. this causes him to dream in sepia about Sadiq Khan's London Underground. His partner falls down this pothole and vanishes. We get some good use out of this pothole, by the way, later in the film as well. We see behind Stone a monster flash in and out of shot. Back in the real world, Dick explains that it was a bulletproof vest that saved him.
Yeah.
No mention of what saved him flying out of a window on the third floor to stop him breaking his fucking neck. Was it a broken neck proof vest?
It was rising tide, it was water.
Fuck's sake. Well, 6 inches of water. You know you can kill a man in 6 inches of water, but I know you can save his life. At the station, Michelle says she saw a flash and then blacked out. We're almost there, listeners. Stone asks Postlethwaite for the report There's traces of the rat virus that causes Vial's disease, Kurt Vial's disease.
Yeah.
And the set of fingerprints that they found were Foster's, his ex-partner. The chief drags him in and he explains he emptied a full clip of Magnum bullets. The thing's superhuman, and it just walked out. We learn it has DNA of all its victims, including rat DNA and Stone's DNA. Rats can transmit many diseases to humans, including salmonellosis, which is food poisoning, and Vial's disease. They can also spread listeria, pasturella, which I think is a futuristic film starring Jane Fonda, isn't it? leprosia and worms. They can also cause cryptosporidia and toxoplasma.
Nice.
There you go. What a bunch of pricks rats are, eh?
They really are.
The bubonic plague, the Black Death was the second bubonic plague pandemic and occurred in Europe between 1346 and 1353. 50 million people died, which was just short of 50% of the continent's population in the 1400s. The bubonic plague was caused by bacterium Yersinia pestis and was spread by fleas and is probably my most irrational of fears.
Really?
Yeah, when we were at school, when we were at, and I'm not kidding, junior school, they took us to a place in the Peak District called Eam, which was the village where the bubonic plague basically wiped out. And it's now kind of like a, it's like Beamish, but for the plague. Man, and you take school kids to fucking see it. We were far too young to go. And that's why I'm so fucking scared of getting bitten by or fucking attacked by rats, in spite of the fact that we've got antibiotics now.
I know, but still, it's a concern.
It's, oh, mate, it's a fucking massive concern in Carlisle where most of the human beings have got the plague. Bearing in mind, this is where we're going to do something this year, and they're all going to come out and go, you said we've all got the plague.
They're great.
And I'm going to go, well, if you will, fuck sheep.
I've tried to say.
Anyway.
That'll win them over.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Sheep shag army. That's what they are up here. Ask all my mates. Right. Dick explains the killer didn't get the last victim's heart, meaning he could be back. Stone and Dick head to the morgue, which is loads of bodies behind plastic curtains, as well as... Did you spot this actor, by the way?
Yeah, he's in everything just now, isn't he? That fucking... What's his face?
I keep wanting to call him Jason Alexander, but he's not called Jason Alexander.
He was in the one about the shopping centre.
Trolleyed. He's the guy out of Trolleyed. Yeah. Jason Watkins, who was only 28. Some fucking 28-year-old, wow. He looked about as old as you do, Paul.
He really does still look old, doesn't he?
He's always looked an age. He's a good actor. He's in a lot of stuff you don't expect to see him.
He's in something new called The Coma that looks quite good. He punches like this wee Neddy kid, and the Ned goes into a coma and he doesn't want to wake up because he'll tell them the truth. It looks quite good.
All right, is it Danny Dyer's Donkey Punch?
No, it's not as good as that.
This is where Paul goes, oh fucking hell, have you done Donkey Punch? Because have me on for that. Yeah, we'll have you on for that one fact.
I'm still Donkey Punch. You said we were going to do the business. I was ready.
Mate, we will do the business. Yeah. I promise you. I swear to you, we will do the business. We'll do the business by this time next year.
Because he's working with Nick Love again, isn't he?
He is. By the way, powder. Listeners and John, I might have promised or begged Gavin Belson when we were drunk in Waterloo Brewdog the other day that we would do the new Football Factory film when it comes out.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Really?
So I'm going to force him.
We
did the original Football Factory about a year ago with our friend Gav. We were desperate.
Really
Gav's been desperate to come on for years, and we made him watch a film he doesn't even like because he's a Chelsea fan.
So he is.
Anyway, that's what happens when you have sex for money, Gavin. they spot these polystyrene tiles on the ceiling moving. What a fucking fire hazard they were, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, you can't put those in the house anymore.
I had Aileen's vibe, though. That was like, oh, they're here. I expect to hear that wee hat monitor thing. Bing, bing.
It's funny that you should have that. I had failing a survey vibes when I saw that. He says, I think he's gone. Just then it drops through the ceiling and they unload their weapons onto it, but he explains, it escapes. And this is it. He goes, That wasn't it, him. It wasn't it. We need bigger fucking guns. Right? And I put it down to the fact that this is where he eats all the junk food and drinks all the coffee.
Okay.
And that's what and starts smoking a stogie for the rest of the film. And that's what turns him into a nutter. Not the fact there's a big, massive monster after him. Socrates gives them the big fucking guns. They take this pair of assault shotguns. He goes, but that has 650 rounds a minute. And there's this great line where he's like, right, well, I'll just organise the paperwork, and they're fucking, they're
fuck
out.
Off,
it's really good. Dick explains 2008 is the year of the rat, which Paul has already told us. This year, of course, 2024, is the year of, gentlemen.
Something weird, oh, is it? No, it's not a dragon.
It is, John.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
You should know you're married to one. Hey. I'm only saying that because she doesn't listen, but I am really scared of her.
That's a snippet for the show.
Oh, that's going on the social medias that she does listen to. Yeah. The creature's eating hearts because he believes that it takes people's powers. Mm-hmm. The chief isn't having any of it, by the way, and I love this Alan Armstrong rant, which I think is mostly just done on fucking spec. What the hell am I supposed to do? Put out an ABB on some fucking guy who looks like the devil? Answers to the name Lucifer? Yeah, and
that's
you? Suppose he's got two horns sticking out of his fucking head. A little fucking tail. Bugger out of the way, will you? You pair of pricks.
So good.
That's what he pushes that
fucking. It is absolutely the line of the fucking movie. Back at Stone's place, they're figuring out the next move when they find a heart on a plate in the fridge. Just then, they spot
very nicely presented. I'm surprised they didn't put a little bit of cling film.
Oh, it's fucking. It's MasterChef job, isn't it? No. Yeah, absolutely. You know that fucking bald prick, Greg Wallace. He's going, oh, yeah, it's fucking tasty, that. Yeah, it's really tasty. Yeah, I like it with a dusting of icy sugar because I'm a prick. He's not had a good 2024 so far, has he?
No.
Greg Wallace. He's come across as the massive dickhead he is. Yeah. Anyway. If you'd like to come on, Greg, that'd be great. Yeah. Come on and we'll talk about, I don't know, Ratatouille or something. Or how much you ignore your fucking autistic child on a daily basis. Cunt. So they spot water flooding out from underneath the bathroom door. It's obviously the monster, but it isn't. It's Michelle in the bath, right? She touched the heart and is now obsessively trying to clean her hands for some reason with shaving foam?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Why not? Why not? Gillette? Why not? It's
the cleanest your hands can get. Because Michelle was bitten, the concern is that the monster's after her too. Dick heads back into the Jeep and Stone puts Michelle to bed. And when he tries to contact Dick later, he can't get him. The Jeep isn't there. So he heads out into the wet street, past loads of rats in the alley, where he spots Dick's glasses, which Dick barely wears, by the way, and hasn't worn since the start of the film. They're on the ground. Round in a corner, he finds him tied up in the boot of the Jeep. He's been attacked by the monster, slashed across the chest. They head back to Stone's apartment where Michelle's now missing. Fucking can these twats just keep themselves together for 10 more minutes? That's all there is left of the film. They check Dick's wounds and for some reason he's had the Scorpio sign cut into his chest. But it's also, question mark, a map?
Yes.
They put a mirror next to it and it's also...
Points.
What An is M. going on? Like... Just, it's 2008. Get the fucking sat-nav out, sunshine.
Did you read about how the original script was called Pentagram?
Yeah.
No.
And apparently they had to change it because there's another banger of a film called First Power with Lou Diamond Phillips. It's like a slasher.
Hmm.
And that was about a serial killer in New York City that would put pentagrams into people's chests. So they changed the title.
That sounds really familiar. I might have seen that. At
First
some
Power.
Point.
Well recommending.
Okay. So the map leads them to Cannon Street Tube.
Yeah.
Cannon Street is on the Circle and District lines between Monument and Mansion House.
Oh, it's real.
The station was opened on the 1st of September 1866. The last time Transport for London had a team? Question mark. At a cost of £4 million, which in today's money would be £394 million. Which, I've got to be honest with you, Mansion House and Monument, there's fuck all distance between them. Just make pricks walk. Do you know what I mean? Just make them walk. Anyway, more tube related stuff coming up very shortly, you train spotting wankers. So they head to Cannon Street, but not before going to meet the Rat Catcher, who is the second cast member from Scrooge.
Yeah.
This is Clarence, the homeless bum, you know, with the watch.
Yeah. Brilliant.
R.I.P. this guy. He agrees, and I looked him up. He didn't freeze to death in a fucking sewer.
What?
Like he does in
false advertising, man.
Yeah. I think it was COVID.
Is it Michael J. Pollard?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, but he got like a really big billing on the credits, didn't he? Like at the end, you know, like if you've got a big, because he was in Bonnie and Clyde and an amazing spaghetti western. I'm probably called For the Apocalypse, but yeah.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Sorry. Yeah,
and I like those.
It's like a hot. It's like a horror spaghetti.
Oh, is it? All right.
Yeah.
Is it the original Bonehawk? Tomahawk.
Tomahawk.
Yeah,
it could be. Yeah.
Have you
ever done that one?
That's a fucking great movie.
That's a banger.
He agrees to help them get to Cannon Street Station, even though it's all blocked off now. I love these keys he's got, by the way, and this old metal circle keyring. This is my office. My loo. Oh, yeah, this is the key you want. It's great.
And he gives that bunch of keys away. Like,
he obviously thinks this is the end, my friend, the end. when they get through the doors. he said they head into the station kicking the doors in. He says, I wouldn't say this thing thinks it's Satan, but it is Satan. Well, Satan is in deep shit. It's a good line.
That's a good line, yeah.
They're going through some fucking cupboard doors for some reason, aren't they? They open a door and the rat catcher and his goon fall out of it dead.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that
they went
this
through
monster's managed to kill them in the time it's taken them to walk 100 yards and then get around and deposit. But it is supernatural, so whatever. It's just a fucking film plot.
Whatever.
Give it a rest.
He's got to get stoned there. I read it as he's got to get stoned to that particular place.
Yes.
For some like ritual type.
Yeah.
To work. MacGuffin.
That connection.
Yeah,
it's full of MacGuffins to get us to the end of the film. You're right.
Their connection is because of the scratches, isn't it? Like stone.
Yes.
Scars.
That's right.
That's why that he's psychically. Yeah.
They spot Michelle hanging from a rafter, tied there above this pool of water. No idea how this pool of water is in this tube station.
And I don't understand why they couldn't break the circle. What?
It's something to do with light, isn't it? It's the light
I wanted to see what happened.
Dick saves her by grabbing her and dragging her onto this bit of rolling stock, this tube train, just as the monster jumps out of the water. This rolling stock, by the way, the London Underground 1992 stock is a type of rolling stock used on Central and Waterloo and City lines in the Underground. A total of 85 eight-car trains were built for the Central line and 5 four-car trains were built for Waterloo and City line. But obviously, in spite of the fact this film being 1992, it was an old version of stock. I couldn't find out exactly what year, but the podcast's a comedy podcast. It's not me fucking looking up trains.
Yeah. Hector.
But it also might be me looking up trains. So Stone comes out fucking blasting and the thing runs away. He heads after it, but it finds him first, and we see it for the first time. It's fucking huge, it's black, it's sleek. It's kind of got, you're right, Paul, when you said earlier on Predator vibes, but also Alien vibes. Got this claw type fingers.
Judge Death as well, it's got that sort
of... much so. Yeah. And these claw type fingers it puts on his head. It looks amazing, this.
I was just, like you say, Judge Steph, I get 2000 AD. It is like a 2000 AD comic brought to life, the whole thing, I think. It's really got that feel to it.
Just not quite futuristic enough. Like you say, if they'd thrown another 5mm at it, what we might have seen.
It is
absolutely fucking ripe for a remake, this.
Yeah. I love it.
They all make a run for it after blowing up this train carriage that it's in. Stone has the idea to fry it with electric cables because he's seen Jaws 2 and put the cables in the water. But that doesn't even kill it. That just softens it up And as he's fighting it, he reaches into its chest, grabs its heart, before Dick blows it away with the line, "Sweet dreams." It's pretty good. They leave the tunnel, and as they get out, the water below them starts bubbling up. Is it still breathing below them? Question mark.
Or is another one?
Well, apparently that everyone, like all the theory, because I watched a few fan theory videos and that, and they reckon that it's because there's a species of them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. So they obviously hope there would be a sequel somewhere.
I reckon. And this one is the Hunter, I assume.
Yeah.
I love the line at the end is it's just like ADR over the shot of the hovercraft, isn't it? And it's basically
again, looking just like not a
Dick saying, you know, the London Black Mask, because he's got this comic book of the Black Mask, which isn't a real comic.
Yeah, yeah.
The Black Mask is traveling with his sidekick, the
story, twat.
Yeah, Stone, Harley Stone, because this whole thing of you're called Harley, no, you're called Dick Durkin. That's quite good. And as he's kind of doing this voiceover thing, Stone turns and goes, "Will you shut up, Dick?" It's really good. It's really fun. And that's the movie, and that's the film. Paul, I'll let you go first. Any extra bits and pieces? Because I know you got tons.
Yeah. The original soundtrack was meant to be written by Wendy Carlos, who wrote the amazing Shining soundtrack, which is one of my favourite soundtracks of all time. She wrote also Clockwork Orange and Tron.
But, wow.
She got rejected and replaced by Stephen Parsons, another guy, for some reason. I don't know whether... I reckon that might have been budgetary, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
I've said about the pentagram... Yeah, the first power. Thompson originally wrote the script with Harrison Ford in mind for the main role.
Oh, no, better now with... Yeah, much better with Howard.
Yeah.
You can't imagine him getting the fucking memo, can you? Like Howard does.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Nice one. Good stuff. I will add those... to the list. John, anything else?
Thames Barrier cost $534 million to build.
Cheap at half the price.
The Tower Bridge construction cost $1.184 million at the time, and it's equivalent to $143 million now. Metropolis Strip Club is the most popular strip club in London. Just checking that out just to see what's going on.
You were hoping it was Stringfellows again, weren't you, after last week? Peter Stringfellows. Paul, I know you don't listen, but last week we likened Devon Frost from Blade to Peter Stringfellow.
Peter Stringfellow.
Deacon Frost.
And On Your Wagon refers to a horse-drawn cart that sprayed water on dusty streets, so that's why they call it On the Wagon, because... you'd rather be on water than on alcohol. And
all right, wow.
The Black Mask was a character at one point in a Batman comic, but I couldn't find it.
I also saw that, but the Wikipedia page it took me to,
I'm
it's full of fucking lore that I could not be fucked with.
I'm not buying it, so fuck it. Yeah. Bye, that's me, that's what I got.
Cheers, mate.
Sorry, I've got another couple that
Please.
I've got on my notepad. It was number one in the UK VHS charts.
All right, okay.
Which is pretty cool. And the other one was, and Stuart Harvey Wilson, he played the Scorpio Killer, as he's known, whatever, the alien creature. Mm-hmm. Also, the other role he played, he was an acrobat, a really tall acrobat, and he played Pumpkinhead in Return to Oz.
Which is a future episode. Future episode.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay,
the other
nice
role
one.
He played.
Whereas, of course, we all know that TikTok was played by I Got Diabetes. It isn't, but he looks like him. The Isle of Wight hovercraft, gentlemen, is the last remaining commercial hovercraft service in the world. Britain's worst flood, 6,250 square kilometres of land stretching roughly from Hampshire and Sussex across Surrey, Kent and Essex was hit with over 100 millimetres of torrential rainfall during July and September 1968, but no one cares because it was down south. Devil Woman. I couldn't find the version of the song that samples Devil Woman, but I did find the original. Cliff Richard, of course. Massive hit all over Europe, except for where, John?
Where? Not the Netherlands.
Correct. Fuck not off. The Netherlands, indeed. yeah, but... And I know we usually only do one to Netherlands, but it's been so long. It's been like
while.
Over a
it's
month
a
since we've heard of Netherlands.
I've not been in Ireland
so
in a while.
We deserve yeah. to.
Oh, they did beat Scotland, so I shouldn't really be talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well... it's 32 in the Stupid Sexy Flanders Ultra Pop chart, number 12 in Denmark, number 9 in the UK, 6 in Ireland, so it was, and number 1 in the Set Etrican fucking Prawn chart.
Popcorn.
I got some good food for you. Alistair Duncan is Mimir in the God of War games, John. There you go.
What?
Mass Effect 2, wasn't he? And the Final Fantasies.
Oh, right. Okay.
He just did it. He did so much voice work. I think that's what he's more known for, because he didn't really do much films after this, did he?
No, not a heck of a lot. He is in loads of single episodes of American crime TV shows like CSI and that. Fucking
shame, though, because I think he's one of the best. Apart from Rutger, I think he's a brilliant.
Oh yeah, he's great fun in this. Rutger Hauer's birthday is not the 10th of November; it's the 23rd of January, day after mine. Established an AIDS awareness organisation called the Rutger Hauer Starfish Association. Rutger Hauer Chocolate Starfish Association, am I right, boys? At the age of 15, he left school to join the Dutch Merchant Navy. He spent a year travelling the world aboard a freighter, but was unable to become a captain due to being colourblind.
What?
Yeah, like Paul Dano in Little Miss Sunshine. I'm not suggesting that him and his uncle rolled out of a car fighting. That
I was
is
say, not actually blind, like Blind Fury.
Very good.
Oh, well done.
Very good, Paul. Yeah, absolutely.
A banger.
Vial's disease is a severe form of leprososis. This is a type of bacterial infection that's caused by leprotosa bacteria. You can contact it if you come in contact with urine, blood, or tissue of animals or rodents that are infected with the bacteria. And there's a mention of a Megaton flash grenade, the M202 flash or flame assault shoulder is an American rocket launcher manufactured by Northrop Corporation, designed to replace the World War II vintage flamethrowers such as the M1 and the M2, launched in 1978. And my fact of the episode, as horrifying as it is, because they are non-sporting firearms with a bore greater than 1/2 inch in diameter, M203s are just about available on the civilian market in North America.
Fuck off.
So you can still buy them. Jeez. As long as you're willing to wait for one.
John's normally the firearm dude.
He is, yeah. He's let himself go.
No, no. I'm not going to talk about paint guns, paintballs.
Final thing, on the end credits, it is that Old Black Magic is the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1942 song written by Harold Arlen with lyrics by Johnny Mercer, who I'm pretty sure he used to play for Leeds. They wrote it in 1942 for the film Star Spangled Rhythm. Nope, me either.
No, no.
Other films it's featured in, Marilyn Monroe sings it in Bus Stop from 1956, and Jerry Lewis sings it in The Nutty Professor, 1963. John, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
That Nutty Professor movie, the what first one? Eddie Murphy one. Is yes. that a future episode?
Is there enough in it? Yeah, of course there is.
If there's enough in this, there's enough in that.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Nah, definitely.
Fantastic. Paul, while I top them up, do you want to have a bit of a guess?
I think I shamed myself last time, didn't I? Because we didn't do it. We didn't do the 100.
We didn't, mate. The first time you've been on and we haven't done it.
I'm feeling like you have bought your game today, because you've bought so much. So I'm reckoning we've done it. I'm reckoning 107.
Could you go a bit higher, John?
123.
Could you just fuck off, John? 109.
Yeah,
109.
Yes. Back in the game.
Back in the game, Paul. You were only off it once. Paul, tell the listeners what you are working on at the minute, because I know, because I follow you on social media, and let us know your social media so they can all follow you. But yeah, tell us what's happening at the minute.
Oh yeah, so Evil Genius Artwork. So at Evil Genius Artworks on Instagram is my main place where I post all my artwork and stuff. But mainly what I do is make bootleg comic books based on like big film properties. Current project I'm doing is Cobra. I'm trying to recreate through comics the fabled lost work print of Cobra, which has never really been seen or found. Trying to do it in comics form. Issue one is already out, issue two is just about to come out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've done lots of different bits, stuff based on The Shining, stuff based on one of my most well-known things is Rambo versus the Blair Witch. Mm-hmm. Which is what it says. So yeah. Yeah, lots of comics. So if you go on Etsy and again Evil Genius Artworks, you'll find what I do.
Yeah, we've got quite a few of your comics, and for us, I think we discovered you through your kind of VHS mashups, and the first one was Death Wish for Jason. Of course, we love Death Wish for Jason because obviously we love your Death Wish stuff. I would absolutely love it if you could do us a print which involved us meeting Paul Kersey. Would be amazing. I don't know what that's going to look like. That would be super.
I could do that, definitely. I already turned you into Paul Kersey for your birthday.
Well, you did turn me into Paul Kersey for my birthday. I actually look like Uncle Fester in that big jacket, which it just gives me an excuse to share it. Blammo!
Blammo!
No, anything you guys need. Just
marry me.
I know, it still makes me laugh every time I see it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fantastic. We love what you do. Paul, listeners, thank you so much once again. If you like what we do, follow us on all the socials. We are on 100thingswelearnfromfilm.co.uk. once you go to that, it takes you to our link tree with various links and bits and pieces that we do. We are not on Twitter anymore. I cannot say enough about how little we're on Twitter. If you go and look at our page on Twitter, you will see the last tweet and the pinned tweet is "we're fucking out." Here's where to find us on other stuff, and we're on all that other stuff because we've basically thrown away like 5,000 followers on Twitter and just gone fuck it, because I can't cope with any more of this fucking just racist fucking anti-Semitism bollocks anymore. I just can't do it, so we're out of it. Yeah, we're absolutely out of it. John, say something nice to the people.
Well, I was going to let them know that we're going to take a wee break next week, aren't we? Because
We're going to have a week off. We need a week off. We're going to come back with the patron's choice, which we haven't thrown up yet. But listeners, if you're listening to this in the first few days of it being released, you're still going to have a chance to do that. We're going to have a sit down and talk about that over the next day or so.
Yeah, like anime April, but I can't think of any anime films that I might watch. No recent ones.
Fucking hell.
The older ones would kill us.
No, I'm going to have to cut that. Don't let people think that we're going to do that. Because, more fucking tentacles coming out the back of Dick fucking Durkin's back. Yeah, great. Thanks.
Shall we?
Yeah. Okay, nice one. Paul, as always, you'll be back. Two or three times by the end of the year, I'm sure. God, as if you haven't got fucking more to do, mate, with your life than this. But we cannot get enough of fucking having you on. You are... Amazing. Where have you fucking been all our lives is the question. So listeners, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. But for now, he's been Paul. He's been John. I've been Planty. And this has been 109 things we learned from Split Second. Go and watch it. It's fucking great.
Yes, definitely.
See ya.
See you guys.